And this will be kind of the last sermon before the Hebrews sermon series begins. So as I said, just going to give you a little introduction about myself. My name is Chris. I'm the pastor here. I came to Kuwait in 2008. I've been here for over, a little over 15 years. I came with my wife. We were married before. Then we ended up having two kids here. This is the longest place I've ever been as an adult. Right, probably more than a kid, because even when I was a kid, I traveled around. My dad was a construction worker, so we never stayed in a place for more than like 10 years. So I've been here 16, so this is like the longest place I've ever been in my whole life. And with the church, you know, I've always had this kind of this call or this question in my heart about leading a church, doing ministry in a full-time capacity. But I'd always push it aside. I was doing other things. I did university. I was a music teacher. I was a university professor here for many years. But I also have done like pastoral internships in the U.S. before I came to Kuwait. When I came to Kuwait, I joined a small group. And I asked to join a small group, and the pastor said, "We don't have any small groups. Why don't you start one?" So I did, and by God's grace, it grew and grew and grew to like 25 people. And then in this Kuwait, there's a need for leaders, spiritual, right? So I got kind of pulled into that, did some preaching, some teaching, some training camps, and I decided to go to seminary, get a Master of Arts in Theological Studies, and had a great experience there, learned a ton. And CIC, this church, CrossFit International Church, we were just a group of like, five people praying in the beginning, praying about what God wants to do, and I was one of the original elders. I was preaching very rarely, somewhat bivocational. We had some crazy old building with one giant air conditioner in near the avenues. We met at the Best Western, went to the symphony, then we, after COVID, went to the villa in Sabah Salam, I believe. And then we came back to the symphony. And here we are, right, after all that. And after COVID, it was pretty much dead, about 5 to 10 people, like the way we started, because a lot of people left Kuwait when COVID hit. And we started, and by God's grace, and with the group of leaders that I have with me, we have grown it, and it's grown, and now we have about 70 to 80 adults every week and about 20-25 kids. So God has blessed it. That's the church. And I want to talk a little bit about our vision, our values, and our mission as a church. I'm going to read several scriptures, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Isaiah 30:21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." And then Ephesians, we just finished a few weeks ago, says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So this vision, this right way, the good works for CIC, right, what are those things? So I want to read our mission, our vision, and our motto, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. So our mission statement is this: CrossRoad International Church exists to model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus among all the nations in Kuwait. Our vision is we want to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. And the motto, also similar, modeling the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. That's kind of who we are and what we believe. So, I'll start with the name. Why do we pick CrossRoad International Church? Well, first we have the cross. The cross is the center of what we believe as a church. This is the first part of the name. We want to be laser focused as Christians on the cross of Christ and what he did. That's what makes us believers. So we believe that Jesus lived a perfect life, died in our place on the cross for our sins, as we sang about, right? He was not just in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he took my punishment. He was a perfect sacrifice, took my punishment and your punishment on himself. And that those who believe in him, you don't have to do anything. You just need to believe that he is your Lord and Savior, and then he will give you his perfect life. So when God looks at me, when God looks at you, he sees the perfect life of Jesus and says, you are one of my people now. You are with me no matter what you've done, past, present, or future. Now, we also grow, right? We also play the model about modeling. We're growing in this. But that's what he did. He suffered at my place for my sins. I know we say that a lot, but this needs to be go from our minds into our hearts, right? Because that's the center of who we are as believers. We don't believe that, you're not in. You can have fun, you can enjoy tea and coffee and cookies, and you can give, and you can have fun with people, but if you don't believe that, you're not a believer. You're not a Christian yet. Now you're a Christian. So that right relationship that Jesus gives us, that is why we cross at the very beginning of our end, of our name. We're also, it's crossroad, because in Kuwait, people are at a spiritual crossroad in their lives. If you've noticed, locals and expats alike, people come to Kuwait and they're doing something different. They're either looking for more money or a job or an opportunity or to travel. Something, and it's a crossroad in their lives. It's also a spiritual crossroad. If you were here last week, you saw all the people who shared their testimony, what God has done at the crossroad in their lives by coming to Kuwait, coming to church, getting connected. Right? Many of those people were not connected when they first came. They didn't jump in and say, let me do stuff. But God worked on them, transformed them, through the worship, through the preaching, through the connection, and they left more connected to Jesus. So at that crossroad, God transformed them. That's why we're called Crossroad International Church. People are moving closer to God or moving further away from God. People make decisions all the time. Do I want to join the women's rugby on Friday mornings? Do I want to come to church? Well, there's outcomes for those and those consequences. I'm obviously preaching to the choir because you're all here. But this is a crossroad. This is a critical crossroad in people's lives when they come to Kuwait. And we want to be there to catch people, to love people, to share Jesus with people so they become a family. And we are a family by God's grace. Amen? International. I'm going to talk about this more. But basically what international means that we are people, look around, from different cultural, ethnic, and theological backgrounds. But we all believe in Jesus, the crucified king. Right? That's what we're centered on. And then church. The church is all, first of all, it means all Christians everywhere in all times. That's the capital C church. But as we saw from Ephesians and the other books we've read, Paul speaks to local churches, groups of people gathered together in space and time. Right? Local bodies. And it is what it says in Matthew 16:18. It says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? It doesn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against your personal relationship with Jesus. And it won't. But it's interesting that Jesus says it's the church. It's us together. Right? It's us together as believers, not your parent church ministry, not your online sermon series that you watch at home. It's the church. We are the church. That's why it's CrossFit International Church. And we are non-denominational. Somebody just asked me this today. We're non-denominational. We're not affiliated with a particular denomination. We are Protestant. We come out of Martin Luther in the 1500s and follow in that tradition. And we're evangelical, which means we believe that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just something We say with our lips, but we believe in our hearts. And as a church, we want to receive that message. We want to receive Jesus in our lives. We want to believe that. We want to be changed and transformed by that. Preaching to myself here. And then we also want to go out and bring that healing and hope to everyone in this country. It's like 95% Muslim here. We are a huge minority, but God has a purpose for us in Kuwait that is far more than doing a job and making money. Far bigger, far grander, far more eternal than those things. So that's what we're called to do. We receive freely from Jesus, right? And then we share his unconditional love and hope with the world. Because we got it for free. We didn't pay anything. Now, there is a cost to following Christ. But his sacrifice, that is free. It is given freely. And he gives hope, real hope. Hope that can transform your life now, and then you get to be with him forever at the end of your life. It's not just in the ground, you're gone. That'd be a terrifying thought. But no, Jesus, he rose from death, so we know that we also, as believers, will rise from death. And this whole world, this whole nation needs to know that. Because you ask anybody right now who's not a Christian, especially locals and Muslims, they will say, I have no idea if I'm going to heaven or hell. What a terrifying thought that would be. But we know where we're going if you believe in Jesus. Right? Because it's not based on what I do. It's what he does. For them, it's what they do. They don't know if they're good enough or not. How hard is that to live in that reality? So we need to bring that hope, right? That's the inspiration behind the motto, mission, and vision, right? The unconditional love, we don't earn it, we don't do anything, and the life-giving hope, hope that gives us freedom and joy and happiness. That's the inspiration behind it. So that's kind of our mission and our motto and our vision. And then we'll talk about some of the values that we have as a body. Okay, so our first value is that we are, like I said before, an international ministry. There are not many churches in Kuwait that are international churches. There's many churches that are in the Middle East. That doesn't mean they're all international churches. There's lots of American churches. There's Reformed churches. There's Indian churches. There's Charismatic churches. There's Filipino churches. But they all have their own prescription based on nationality or theological background, right? But we're not that. There's a need for that. That's why we came into existence. We wanted a church that people from different backgrounds, from different ethnicities, from different theological backgrounds, and be together as it will be in heaven, right? So that John saw people from every tribe, language, and tongue praising and worshiping the Lamb who was slain, right? So that's what we want to model that a little bit. Right, in CIC, as Cross International Church, we strive to maintain that multicultural idea of this church. And this is from the New Testament. This is not something new. If you go to Acts chapter 11, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll give you the synopsis and you can read it at home. So in Acts chapter 11, right, Jesus comes, he says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So Peter has this crazy vision. He sees all these animals, clean and unclean. He says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. It's like, no, man, that's unclean. That's not kosher. I'm not doing any of that, so it's not halal. And that vision comes three times. And then he wakes up from that vision. And then God leads him to a Gentile Roman centurion who knows God but needs to receive the gospel. And he shares Jesus with them, and he becomes saved. Him and his house will become baptized. At the same time, people, because of the persecution of Stephen, the first martyr for Jesus, they're scattered at the ends of the earth, the known earth at the time. And some people traveled, because of the persecution, they traveled as far as Cyprus, Lebanon, and Turkey. Right, I think it's Cyprus in the New Testament. It's not Lebanon. It is Lebanon, Turkey, I think it's Antioch, and another one, I can't remember the top of my head, should have wrote it down.
Phoenicia,
yes, that's why the Lebanese call themselves Phoenicians, not Arabs, right? And most of them preach only to Jews, because, well, this is God's people, we're going to share this new Messiah of Jesus to them. But then some, they preach to the Hellenists. Hellenists are Greek-speaking and culturally Greek Jewish converts, and they believed. Now, it's hard to imagine the difference between your Palestinian Jew, Eastern, and then your Greek-speaking, Greek-thinking, Greek ideas, which we're all, most of us are descendants from. If you're from the West, you are a descendant of those ideas. And these Greek-speaking, Greek-thinking, Greek-valued Jews, totally different people. But they also believed. And not only did some believe, but a lot of people believed. Enough to start a church. Right? And then Paul and Barnabas come, they say, I think Barnabas says, hey, Paul needs to come. There's a bunch of people that are believing. They're not just Palestinian Jews. These are Jews that are Greek-speaking, and it's totally different. We got a huge mix. And they come for a year, and they preach about Jesus, preach the gospel, and they start a church. That church is Antioch. And so the first international church was at Antioch, because they're different from people, different languages, cultures, and values. Becoming Christians. That's what it says, where they were first called Christians. Right before, they were just Jews. They believed in the Messiah had come. Right? But now they're saying, at this point, because we got Jews from Palestine, we've also got all these Jews that are from the Greek-speaking world, in Greek-thinking worlds. So we're going to call them Christians, not just Jews, because some of these people are not Jewish background. So we're part of that. Right? It's not just a sect of Judaism anymore. We are believers. So we got people here, we're in that tradition, following from ethnic, linguistic, theological backgrounds, united in Christ. So the central truths of the gospel are non-negotiable, right? You can't be a Muslim and come. You can be a Muslim and come. You can't be a Muslim and be a believer at CIC or be a member. Anyone's welcome to come and check it out. But you need to have the central truths of the gospel, but you can have a range of different views on secondary issues. And I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm not going to make you sign this huge statement. I will get to our statement of faith in a few minutes here. And also in Kuwait, there are no missionaries. There are no Christian visas here. So in international church, we also need to be like these men who traveled to the non-Christian world. We need to be that. Because it's not like in Thailand or other places where you can have a Christian or a missionary visa and share openly. No, the only way that happens is through us, all of us, me and you, sharing the gospel with people. If that doesn't happen, they won't hear. If they don't hear, they can't believe. If they can't believe, they can't be saved. Right? So it's our job, it's my job, it's your job, to share Jesus with the people that we meet. And most of those people are from cultures and traditions that are either completely unreached with the gospel, less than 2% of Bible-believing churches, or they don't know Jesus personally. All of us have interactions with locals and other Muslim, non-Christian backgrounds, cultures, and countries that we can share Jesus with. And we must do that. We must cross that culture just like these men did who preached and started the first international church. We must have that same attitude and mentality in the first century. We got to do that today. So we come to CIC, we get fed, we get recharged, we get encouraged, we get reminded about who we are as believers. But then we go back out into our jobs, in our homes, in our families, in our friends, and we're supposed to be that light. Because they won't get it from anywhere else. It's us. That's the first Jesus they will see, is me and you. Which is terrifying, but the Holy Spirit will give us power and the words to say. right? Even in our weakness, even in our failure. So that's who we are. We're an international ministry. The second value is the biblical reality, right? It's the Bible that tells us about Jesus' sacrifice for our sins and the international nature of the church, which I just mentioned, right? We believe that the highest source of truth about God and humanity is the Bible. All 66 books from the Old and New Testament. And we also believe that it has authority over our lives. We stand under the Bible, not over it. Right? I can't reinterpret. I can't make Thomas Jefferson, who tore out the pages he didn't like. No, every page is valid. We stand as a church under that. We also believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, which means that in the original manuscripts, there is no error. Because God, with human authors, wrote the Bible. If you look at 2 Timothy 3, it says that, starting in 16, okay, those numbers are small. All Scripture, this is Paul talking to Timothy near the end of his life, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Breathed out by God. Right? God breathed. So it's infallible. It is perfect. God's word speaking into human authors. So it's perfect. And that's why we go through books of the Bible. Because the timeless truths of the Bible is always timely in our day and our time. It's not just for information, not just to win Bible trivia, okay, at your local life group meeting, but to experience transformation, right? We want to be transformed, and it has transforming power, right? The Word of God pierces sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing through the division of flesh and bone, right? It transforms us, it changes us. So all believers, we believe in the Bible, and we should all be studying our Bible. And through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal the truths in the Word. If you ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, please help me to understand this and believe it and change me through it, He will answer that prayer, I promise you. Amen? He will change us. Not as quickly as we would like, some of us, but He will change us. And that's why we mostly preach through books of the Bible. Now, this is a one-off. Usually between books of the Bible, we'll take a break and do something more topical. But we like to preach through the entire Bible, books of the Bible, so we can kind of get the full understanding of what God has to say to us. So far, we've done Matthew, Ruth, Philippians, Jonah, 1 Peter, Nehemiah. We just finished Ephesians, and we'll be doing Hebrews in the summer. Those are some of the books we've done so far. Right? So we want people to know and benefit from what Paul calls the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God means all the truths from both Old and New Testament. So, biblical reality. Our next point, our next value is authentic fellowship. Right? Fellowship is an integral, important part of Crossroads. It's not just about the worship and the preaching. That's part of it, of course. But the church is about the people, not just the institution. Right? The people are the church. There's about 50 one another passages in the New Testament. What do this to one another? I gave you a sampling here. To love one another, to be devoted to one another, to honor one another, build up one another, care for one another, admonish one another, serve one another, bear the burdens of one another, submit to one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. Well, where do you do that? I give you three guesses if you like. We do it at church, okay? You do it at the church. We don't just come in, sit down, do our stuff, go through the routines, and leave. Because we can't do all that stuff. That's what God calls us to do. And all these one another's that we need to do, he's preaching to churches. These letters that Paul writes with these one another's, they are to churches, just like in Ephesians. Right? To submit to one another. That was in Ephesians. We just did that. So to do this, we need to spend time together. Okay? So please come early to service. Stay after the service. That's why we have the tea and coffee and snacks. It's not just so you can eat the snacks and get out, right? You eat your homes and do that. But this, it's just like facilitates, right? Because food is a natural facilitator of conversation. So please stay after, connect with other people. There's people in this room. I don't want anyone to leave this church to say, no one talked to me. Because that is going to be the biggest indicator of whether they ever come back or not. If no one talks to me, like, I'm not coming back. Nobody cares about me. So especially new people, we need to keep our eyes focused on people who are new and reach out to them and love them and care for them. So it just can't be me anymore. I mean, we're in the summer, we still got about 50 people plus in here, plus all the kids. Right, so it can't just be one person doing that. We all need to be that way. Doing the one another, sharing, talking. People want to have a voice. That's a natural human thing. We should give that to them by saying, hey, how are you? What do you do? Thanks for coming. Tell me about yourself. People love to answer that question. And yeah, especially members. You need to be reaching out to people. And we also have other events. We had the First Friday event. We had a great time bowling last week. If you didn't come, you totally missed out. There were about 6 groups. We had fun. We laughed. People bowled really well. I was actually the best. I got 149. So, but other people also did well. So we have that. We have things like bowling. We have the First Friday lunches. We did a boat cruise this year. Like I said, we did bowling. There's going to be more in the fall and in the summer. Right? More events and opportunities for us to gather in a non-church way. So if you get to know people, you build that trust. Right? And trust is what allows you to do those one another's. Right? And to be the body of Christ. If you don't know anybody here, why are we doing this? You can just listen to a sermon online. That's why authentic fellowship is so important. Next, we have transforming discipleship. We are a Great Commission church to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you. Right, so making disciples means being helped and encouraged and helping others and encouraging them. Life groups right now is the primary way we do that. Right? Life groups are not just studying the Bible and going home. We're also praying for each other, encouraging each other, loving one another, asking each other more intimate personal questions that you might not feel as willing to share with a large group like this. So join, if you're not in a life group, join a life group. I said Jason's starting one. You should be in one so that you can help disciple people who are newer Christians, and that older, more mature Christians than you can disciple you. That's important. Like I said, we are also starting in the fall the Third Millennium Ministries Theological Training for those who are interested. I have a group of people already. They're ready to start in the fall. If you're interested, it's more discipleship training. And more stuff will be rolling out as time goes on. Our next value is community outreach. When Jesus says we need to be witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It means we need to be sharing the truth about Christ all over. Especially, we're here. We're in the far-flung places of the world. We are in a place that is completely unreached for the gospel, and 90%+ Muslim. Right? We're already here. Right? We don't have to go anywhere. We're here. Okay? And they don't know. I've shared the gospel with people here. They have no idea about what we believe. They have no clue, most of them. They have no idea what we believe about Jesus, that he can save them and transform them and give them a real hope. So we need to be sharing and be ambassadors for Christ. Not just individually, of course, individually, but as a church. Right? We had that Christmas bag outreach, which is a tremendous success. That was great. Lots of people were super thankful. They saw the card for church, all the basic toiletries that we gave them, and food and different things. For there's many poor people here, you wouldn't think it, but there are. So we want to be reaching as a church. We want to do more of that. Right? We do support with the money that's given. We also give 10% of that to other organizations for the kingdom. Right? We've given money to help sex workers in Thailand, the earthquake victims in Syria. We've given to Indian pastors preaching the gospel in small villages. We also give. But this is something that I would love us to do more of. Okay? So I'm open to ideas about how do we reach the community in Kuwait better. There are some challenges to overcome, but I think with together, I want this to be a stronger value in our church. Our next core value is effective prayer. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and the Word, right? But we need to speak to God, which we call prayer. God wants to hear from us. He is sovereign. He knows all your problems. But if you look at the book of Psalms and many other passages in the Bible, there are people crying out to God and saying, help me, deliver me, save me. Even though he knows what you're going through, but he wants you to communicate that with him. Right? And he wants to just know how you're doing, just like any relationship. Right? Like, if you never talk to my wife, it's not a great marriage, right? It's like, I know what you're thinking, I know you for 18 years. Let's just skip all this stuff and go to bed. No, you need to have an active, dynamic relationship with your spouse, and especially with the Lord. You want to tell him what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your life. In your lives. And God, unlike your spouse, sometimes God is sovereign, so he can answer your prayers. He doesn't just want to listen, but he wants to help. He wants to transform and change maybe your circumstances, the world around you. He can do anything he wants to. Right? Prayer has great power as it is working. Look at the prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, what God did through them. It's more effective than our own efforts. We're very much, culturally, all of us who came to Kuwait, we make that big step. We're very much, we're going to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That is not effective, okay? Not long term, because the world is completely out of control, right? You can control so little. COVID taught me that, right? Hopefully it taught you that too. There's so little we control, but God controls everything. So as we pray to him, he can change our circumstances. And we pray. We try to pray before the service, during the service. We should be praying in life groups. We have a parent and kids WhatsApp group to pray for the kids in our church. We've started an intercessory prayer group. So there's a group of people who want to pray for people on a regular basis. So if you want prayer for anything, we pray after the service. Every week I offer opportunities of prayer. Because prayer works. Because God works. It's who we pray to. We pray to the real God and the sovereign Lord. So we want to value, we do value prayer at CIC. So prayer is critically important. And if you want prayer for something, the intercessory prayer group will scrub your information, your name. It can be anonymous, and you just share with me. But I will scrub your name from the group, so it's not like they know who all your problems are. We can remove that data. But we want to be praying as a church, right? And then our last core value is powerful worship, right? The book of Psalms also testifies to the value of worshiping Jesus, worshiping God through music. If you look at the beginning of the psalm before the verse starts, they'll say, this is a maskil dedicated in the style of this. That's a musical notation. They were sung. And that was a critical component of Jewish and Christian faith. So worship is about absorbing and reflecting the truths about God in the songs. Right? It's not like a music concert where it's kind of standing there and nothing's happening. We're just letting it happen to us. No, we are engaging with God through worship and music. Right? It's not just for the information from preaching. But we need to align ourselves and our hearts to the biblical truths through music. Right? And we need to sing loud. Oh, the AC just went off. It's very quiet in here now. We need to sing. We need to use our voices. Right? It's not a concert, right? Where they sing and we just listen. No. We should be out singing them. We should also be using our bodies. It doesn't make you a charismaniac if you raise your hand during worship and praise Him, right? It shows that I'm surrendering to God and I want my heart to be aligned with my mind. That's what worship does. It connects our hearts. That's what music does. And we're connecting our hearts to the truths in the music so that we can be, that's what worship is passion, it's desire. Yes, I want God. He turns water into wine. He is greater. He is more powerful. Right? I want Him to be that and do that in my life. That's why I sing as loud as I can. Not at the best. I sing loud, though. And we should all be singing, opening our mouths, saying, yes, this is true. I'm affirming this. Right? That's why we sing. And we can be vulnerable and be passionate with God. Right? I mean, how many people lose their minds at a soccer or football game? But they come to church and it's like just looking around during worship. Like, what is more important, God or your sports game? Don't answer that, okay? Finally, we have our statement of faith. I'm going to read it. It's the Nicene Creed. This was formulated in 325 AD. It's been inclusive of all true believers, but it excludes all heretical groups like Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. They're all these false beliefs about who God is. They're all excluded. It would be inclusive enough for different secondary issues, but exclusive so we're not overrun by false teaching and doctrine. So, I'll read it to us, and it's also in the booklet I have, the two-page booklet. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of lights, true God, begotten, not made. Being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our own salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became human, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in the one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. 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 So, Ben, if you can come back up. We want to live out the teachings of Christ. We want to receive and share and model the unconditional love and hope from Jesus and give it to others. We want to be united people, even though we are from different cultures and backgrounds and theologies. The Bible is our anchor and it's the authoritative word of God. We want to foster deep connections through fellowship as the family of God. We have small groups and other trainings to be disciples and to make disciples. We want to reach the community and the world and become the hands and feet of Jesus. Right? We pray to communicate to God and watch Him work. When we believe in prayer that it affects both us and the circumstances around us, and that worship through music is an important way to know and honor God through our songs and our bodies. So let's model, CIC, the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. Stand up on your feet and we will pray. God, I thank you that the gates of hell have not prevailed against CIC, that even we've gone through rocky waters in the past, we're still here. We still have the menorah of God. You've not taken that away, the light, the lamp. You've not taken that away from us yet, Jesus. And we want to continue to be a source of light and hope and love of you, Jesus. So God, I pray that you'd help all of us to have these values. Give us your heart. Let us not just believe in our mind, but believe in our hearts and our souls and our passion. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for this family. Thank you for these friends, people that I love and that love me and pray for me, and I pray for them. And God, this is a little taste of what heaven will be like, gathered together, worshiping you forever and enjoying family and friends like we do here this morning. God, bless each and every one of us. And we ask for all these things in your great name, King Jesus. Amen.